Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know it's good to be here today? Yeah, it is for me too. I tell you what, I was about one-third wasted during worship today. It was just very powerful today. One thing I need to tell you today is stop looking for your favorite song. You laugh. I'm serious. Worship is not about you. Say that. Worship is not about me. Worship is about him. You know, a lot of times we'll say, I wish they'd play my favorite song. Well, if the worship was about you, we might consider that. You understand what I'm saying? I can fall praise to it just as good as anybody. And we need to understand that our worship does not depend upon if I have my favorite song sung, if I have the song list that I like. Does that make sense? It's what does he like? That's what our worship, that's why we worship, to worship him. I'm going to need that chair. I have been fighting a little bit of distance today. So you continue to pray for me and all, but I'm going to finish. Well, I'm going to try to finish today. My time is a little bit short today, but I'm going to complete some of the things that we talked about mine and your victory lane is the I am. He is him. The reason you and I have a place of victory is because he's the one that gave us and made us victorious. So it's all about him. And that's the reason we worship. It's the reason we worship him. Don't make worship about you. Don't make it about yourself, because it's really not about us. Hey, David. Hey, Sherry. How are y'all doing? Hey, Gwen. From Tennessee. It's good to have y'all today. It really is good to have y'all today. One day you'll have to bring your guitar and sing. You'll have to worship the Lord with us. How about doing that sometime? He's not committing. Great friends of ours, but great friends to this church as well. But we started out talking about David and the mulberry bushes, the sound of the mulberry bushes and all that. And when you hear that sound, you can go in and take the enemy. That was an odd thing. We're talking about the odd ways of God. And we talked about with Joshua, the sun stood still, the moon stood still for 23 hours and 40 minutes. And so you begin to look at the things that God can do, has done, will do, and still can do. What's impossible for him? It's not impossible. And then we talked about the Red Sea, the enemy coming, the Red Sea's there, and the sea parted, and the land dried up, and they walked across in dust, you know, on a seabed. So you begin to see that there's nothing really impossible for him. So he said it's his strength. It is his our relationship and our obedience to him that causes these things to make way for us. So we talked about that. We talked about Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. And he said, what I want you to do is march around it and blow your trumpet, blow your ram's horn, your shofar, blow it. And do that every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you march around it 7 times and you blow every time. Then at the end of it, you shout. Now, that's not much of a strategy for me. But it's his strategy. It is the very thing that he said, this is what I want you to do. And he didn't, you know, how many of you know God, when God usually tells you something, he's not asking you to debate it. What's your opinion? I'm thinking about doing this, Terry. What you think about it? He don't do that. He said, no, he says, what I want you to do. Go do it. And that's how he operates. That's what he wants us to do. So we talked about all these things. I want to give you a couple of more, and I want to go into a little bit about our warfare today. The examples we've been using, you see the warfare that has been taking place in the days of old, in Bible days. But he's still the same, correct? How is he the same? Yesterday, today, and forever, he's the same. So we understand that when he can do this for the others, he can do even more for you and I. But we lose perspective of that a lot of times because we don't have the perspective of saying, he is the great I am. I am what? I am whatever you need. Whatever it is that you stand in need of, he's got it. He is the answer. He doesn't just have the answer. He is the answer. Does that make sense? But I'll talk to you a little bit about the king of Aram. They were in 2 Kings chapter 6. They were at war against Israel. And the king of Aram, Amorites, he would be talking. He'd say, now, my camp, the king's camp is going to be in such and such place. He'd name the place. Well, they were wanting to go to that place where he's going to set camp up. Well, Elisha, who is not there, he goes to the king of Israel, and he says, they're going to be at such and such place. So it find out, so don't go that way, because that's where he's going to be. And they'd go find out, yeah, that's where he's going to be. That's where he's at. And it did that several times, and it made the king of the Amorites angry and got real mad. He said, all right, which one of you is the rat? That's not really what he said in the Bible, but he said, which one of you is for Israel? Who is telling the king of the things that I've been talking about? And actually, the servants looked at him and said, no, it's none of us. We're not saying any of that. Well, who's saying it? He said, well, and actually, one of the servants looked at him and said, listen, it's the prophet Elisha. And he's actually telling the king of Israel of what you're saying in your own bedroom. I don't know about y'all, but that's real funny to me. It didn't go over well with y'all, but it was real funny to me. So he's saying this, that listen, you may think that you may get in the smallest room, whatever you want to do, and you can start plotting against what God wants to do. But God's got somebody that knows. God knows. So he said, look, it's the prophet Elisha. He said, go find him. Go find him. Tell us where he's at, and we'll go kill him. We're going to take him out. So they find out that he's in Dothan. And I'm going to pause for a minute and tell you a little bit about Dothan because it's very important because it goes along with a little bit of what I said this morning, earlier. Dothan is two wells is what the name means. And it's the very well, it's the very pit where Joseph was thrown in when he was sold into slavery. Now, okay, so I understand that. But there's one little thing about that a lot of people don't get that I really want to share with you about Dothan. Okay, one of them is actually named the Pit of Joseph. Well, all right, so he was there, he was put into the pit, then he was sold into slavery. Well, here's the thing. It was his brothers that did it. And one of the brothers is the one that says, sell him as a slave. Do you know who that was? Judah. Judah means what? Praise. What is the significance? Don't let your praise become self-serving, because when it does, it will enslave others. That's a lead balloon. It really was. It's like, okay, all right. And I don't know that y'all get that or not. Judah is praised. Praise is the one that spoke up and says, sell him into slavery. So what does that mean? Our praise can be so self-serving, because Judah was doing that because of self. Praise was doing that because of self. When my and your praise becomes self-serving, it becomes slavery for other people. Why is that? Because it's not real. It's not real praise to him. For him. It's for me. Say, that's good preaching. So true worship is when we worship in spirit and in truth, and it brings freedom to other people. We don't want to enslave other people. We don't want to put, our praise shouldn't put bondage into other people's life. It should bring freedom. They're free. Have you ever seen a free person? Listen. I don't really know how many people's in here, but not a single hand. I saw one hand raise up. If y'all have not seen a free person, look beside you. How do I know I'm free? Well, God gave it to them. They may not be walking in it, but God gave it to them. God gave you and I freedom. Free from sin, free from power of sin. I mean, sin don't even have any power in us anymore. Think about it. Why? Because he set us free. All right, let's move on. So the king sends all these horses and chariots, and they surround the city where Elisha's at. So we see that. And then the attendant to the man of God, Elisha's partner here, he gets up and he says, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, master. We have got trouble on our hands. So, well, what's the trouble? They're surrounding us. They're all around us. So what shall we do? And his answer was this. Don't be afraid. There's more of us than there are of them. There's more with us than there are with them. So don't be afraid. Have you ever been felt overwhelmed? Here's God's word for you. Even though you feel overwhelmed, it looks overwhelming. It looks like there's no end to it. It looks like this thing's not going. It looks like it's no hope. He said, I've got this. There's more with you than there are with them. That's the answer from God. So you begin to say, he says, okay, all right, that's the statement. Well, undoubtedly, the attendant didn't believe it. That's when Elisha prayed and said, open his eyes, Lord. He can't see them. So actually, it's more like me. It's more like somebody praying for me. He can't see them. God, open his eyes so he can see. So he opens the attendant's eyes, and he begins to see, and he says he saw a mountain full of chariots, and they were on fire. Whoa. All of a sudden, he can see. I think we need to pray, God, open my eyes that I can see what you see. Not what I see in the natural books. Open my eyes that I can see what you see. So you begin to see that. And then the enemy starts coming. He does open the eyes and he beholds them. And then he prays again. He says, when the enemy starts coming, he says, all right, God, make them be blind. So the enemy that's coming, guess what? God strikes them blind. Close your eyes for a minute. He strikes them blind. You can open them. He strikes them blind. Can't see. And the Bible says that he led them from there. He led them to Samaria. In other words, he told them, you're not at the right place. So he says, you guys are at the wrong place if you're going to try to defeat somebody. I really like that. Y'all at the wrong place. You ain't going to defeat nobody here. You know, he said, you're at the wrong place. So he leads them to Samaria. Now, here's the thing about it. Samaria is fine. He's going to another city. That's good. But when you study how far away that is, that's 13 miles, and they're walking. So he is leading the blind enemy 13 miles, which is about 5 hours, sometimes about 6 hours worth of walk. They can't see a thing. They have to be held hand in hand. They have to be, do you hear what I'm saying? They can't see anything. They are helpless. Helpless. So he leads them to Samaria. And then once they get to Samaria, the prophet prays again and says, okay, open their eyes. So they open their eyes, so they're no longer in Dothan. They're in Samaria. And they took this long 6 hour walk to get there. And now their eyes are open. Well, now the king of Israel is there, and he says, all right, so now I get to kill them. Read the book. Now I get to kill them. He brought the enemy in, and now I get to kill them. Opened their eyes, so now they can see. They're no longer blind. He says, now's my chance to get rid of kill. I'm going to kill them. Take care of them. I'm going to wipe them all out. Do I get to kill them? And then the man of God said, oh, nope. I don't want you to kill them. I want you to feed them. Now, I don't know about you, but that's, again, not another plan that I would think of. He said, no, I don't want you killing them. Don't kill them. You don't kill somebody that you've taken captive. He says, I want you to feed them. So they prepare a great meal, and they feed them. He said, I want you to feed them, and then after you feed them, I want you to let them go. They came here to kill us, God. And, you know, that's how we think. Well, they came to get us, so let's go ahead and take care of them. They won't be back. No, but God, now through the prophet, he said, nope, don't kill them. I want you to feed them. And then I want you to send them on their way. So that's God's plan. Another unusual thing. And the Bible says that after they fed them, they let them go, and they did not come again into the land of Israel. They never came back. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all are sleepy today. Anyway, so you begin to hear all that, and you begin to hear over in Romans chapter 12, and here Paul says, don't take revenge. Don't take your own revenge. How many of you have taken your own revenge? How many honest people we got today? So, okay, we got a few. About half of you have. Half of you is thinking about it. So it's like, so you begin to say, okay, all right, so no, take. I'm going to take my revenge. He said, nope, don't do that. He said, leave room. Don't take your own revenge. Leave room for the wrath of God to come. Leave room. Leave room for God to work. Don't take your own revenge. Every time you start getting back, you crowd God out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every time you start getting back, you crowd God out. Now, don't crowd God out. Leave room for him to do the work. He can do a lot more in just a few seconds than we can in a lifetime. So you begin to see, he said, okay. Then he goes on, he says, it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I'll do it. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. He said, by so doing, you'll heap burning coals upon his head. Does it mean you're going to put fire on his head? Doesn't mean you're gonna put literal burning coals on his head. What is that gonna mean? I'm sorry, I want to sit down. What does that mean? See, the burning coals was the burning embers that you start a fire with. Y'all pray for me right now, please.
Start to pray out loud. send your anointing upon him, Lord, your healing power in the name of Jesus. Glory be to you, Lord God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just break the power of darkness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Lord, we do pray that you would touch Pastor Terry, God, and enable him to continue this message, God. We rebuke the attack of the enemy, God. We ask, Lord, that you would rebuke it in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, God, that you would give him just a fresh wind of your spirit, God, that would enable him, God, to be strengthened in his inner man, God. Lord, we pray for this depth perception, God, the issues that's going on, God, that they just be gone. In the name of Jesus, Lord, your word says we're two touch and agree on anything, that it shall be done for them, God. So we're all touching and agreeing, Lord, that this shall be done for our pastor and our leader, God. Lord, we thank you for him, God. We thank you for the work that you've done in him and that you will continue to do in him. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you the praise and the honor. Lord, may you be glorified in this, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. The burning coals that's being heaped on people's heads by you not taking vengeance and you being kind and you being good, it starts the burning of their shame. It starts the burning of their sorrow, and it starts the burning of their regret. So God begins to use the very kindness that you give to be able to burn inside them to be able to change. Your vengeance will not change other people. Mine will not change other people. God can do things that will turn a heart just like that. I can remember many times when God actually had to speak to my heart because I had either not followed God in a certain thing, and I could see it, and God would convict me over and said, look, that belongs to me. That don't belong to you. Vengeance don't belong to you. Getting back does not belong to you. Well, they did me wrong. I got to get... No, well, that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. That's what God has said. It belongs to me. So we have to understand that even sometimes the goodness and the kindness that we have, it's what he's wanting us to show and give, because it leaves room for him to do the work. It doesn't crowd him out. You know, you don't think about it sometimes. Say, well, you don't crowd out God. Well, yeah, you do. Not presence-wise. But right here it says leave room. Who's got to leave the room? We do. We got to leave space. We got to leave space for God to work, for God to do his unusual thing. Next thing is Jehoshaphat. And we're probably going to close with this one. Jehoshaphat is facing two armies, the Moabites and the Amorites. So not one army is against him. Two different armies are against him. He begins to seek God. He begins to seek the Lord. And in his seeking the Lord, he reminds God of all the history of things that God did. That's something you and I, you need to remind God of the victories that you've had or that you've seen in other people. The healing that you've seen in other people, if you stand in need of healing, you remind God, God, you healed this person of this, this person of this, this person of this, this person of this. You're the healer. You did this. That's exactly what he did. He reminded, not God didn't forget. Jehoshaphat just let him know, I remember. I'm taking note. I remember the acts of your deliverance. And then he voiced that he trusted God with all his being. He trusted God. And then here's what it says in 2 Chronicles 20. It says, we are powerless against this great army, this great multitude, these two armies that's against us. And we do not know what to do. How many of you have ever been there? I'm in the middle of something. I've got something going on. I got something that's attacking me. I got something that's happening. And I do not know what to do. Every one of us has faced that. Some of us are facing that now. I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Well, I just reminded him, he's the one that he delivers. He's the one that takes care of this. And then the Lord said, "Don't." I love it. He's always saying, "Don't be afraid." Man, he says that so many times, and I said, "Why are you saying that?" Because I know you're afraid. How many of you know that? How many of you, if God's ever told you don't be afraid of something? You know why? It's because you're afraid of something. He wouldn't just waste his words. No, he'd tell you, you're afraid of something. He said, don't be afraid. He said, this battle's not yours. It belongs to me. You'll not even fight this battle. He said, station yourself, stand and see the salvation that I'm about to do. Station yourself. What does that mean? Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get yourself in position to be able to stand still and see what God's about to do. Are you in that place? Are you in that station? Are you still have doubt? Or do you still have fear? Do you still have those things? Well, you're not stationed. He said, station yourself. Get ready, because the salvation of the Lord is about to show you on your behalf. Don't fear, don't be dismayed. The Lord is with you. Tell your neighbor, don't fear, don't be dismayed. The Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and faced the ground and began to pray. All of Jerusalem did the same thing. They fell down and they started worshiping God. Not just the leader began to bow down and fall to the ground and begin to worship and pray to God, but the entire Israel, they all fell down. It says Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping God. When's the time to worship? When you're going through a real hard time. I don't feel like it. That's the reason it's called a sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like doing this. He didn't ask you about your feelings. He's about to change how you feel. Because how you feel is not the way he wants you to feel. He gave us feelings, but sometimes the feelings can misinterpret. Have your feelings ever misinterpreted what God has either said or done? Has that ever happened to you? Your feelings did not line up with what God wanted you to line up. So you begin to see that. So they all stood up and they praised God with a loud voice. And then a prophet came by and said, put your trust in the prophet and you're going to be able to succeed. And then he says this, all right, here's the plan. Well, what's the plan? Here's the enemy. All right, we've done all this worship. We've done all this praying. We've done all this stuff. What's the plan, God? What's the plan? He said, get your singers, get your dancers, and send them out. No more weapons. Two armies is waiting on them. No more weapons. All right, get those people that sang unto the Lord and those that praise him with holy attire, which is our dancers. All right, they don't have any swords. Don't need any. They don't have any spears or anything. Don't need any. What you need is just do what I tell you to do. So they begin to do that, and they go out, and they go to where the army, and they're standing. The Bible says they are standing before these two armies. They're not warriors, but they are today. They're standing in front of these two armies. Two armies are there, and they just start singing. And listen to what they sing. Don Potter does. I'll tell you how Don Potter does it. I love the way he does it. He said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Now, what song did they sing? I just told you. Give thanks unto the Lord. Don Potter does. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Sing it again. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Next time you're surrounded, start singing. You know the little jingle, you know the chorus, and it's all Bible. Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because when they started singing, when they started praising, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy and routed them. The Lord set ambushes, routed the enemy, and caused them. Well, what happened? They turned on one another. One of the armies and the other army, they turned on each other, started killing each other. That's the ambush. What is the ambush? All right, these two armies against Israel, now I'm going to turn them against each other. And they turn each other and kill each other. Israel goes in and picks up the spoil. They go in and pick up what's left. Relationship with Him. And surrender to Him. We want to major on the relationship, and we should. A relationship with Him is extremely important. But our growth depends upon our surrender. Our maturity depends upon our surrender and our obedience to Him. Well, I've got about three more pages to go, but we won't do that today. I'll go into some things about next week, but I will say this, that your disobedience, even though if you're in relationship with Him, your disobedience will promote you to think wrongly. What does that mean? Because you disobeyed, you already got thinking there's another way out of this other than God. So we're already thinking wrong. No matter what you're going through, what is God telling you to do? Trust Him. Have a relationship with Him. Surrender. That means give up on your plan. I've got a plan. Okay. What is it? I've got one. I've got a plan. You want to hear it? Obey God. Surrender to Him. Yeah, I was doing counseling one time. I know I got to close. I was doing counseling one time with marriage couple, and I was telling them some things that they really need to work on and everything. And the guy looks at me and he looks puzzled and he looks a little bothered. And I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And I said, "Well, You don't look fine. What is it?" He said, "I'm just wondering, do you have a plan B?" And that's exactly what he said. Do you have a plan B? I said, this is plan A, B, C, D. This is the plan. There is no other plan. Do you have another way of helping this? Mm-mm. No, it's right here. Now, if you had another plan and it worked, you won't need this. It doesn't work. I've had people to tell me, said, "Well, God's told." Listen, I had one to say, "God's told me to marry this person." And I looked at him and I said, "Okay." And they said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, I think you ought to do what God tells you to do." "Well, are you telling us to marry?" And I said, "Nope." "What are you telling us?" "I'm telling you, you ought to do what God tells you to do. But you already told me God told you." How do you know God didn't tell them? There's other things at work that caused them to think, "Well, I'm really supposed to marry this person." No. Are y'all hearing what I said? A lot of times people will say, "God told me." Well, God didn't. How many of you ever used God for as a way out one time before, and God really didn't tell you? Just to be honest, you know, I really think God wants me to do this. No, God don't want you to do that. It's all here. If it flies in the face of who God is, somebody told me one time, says, "Well, you know, it was God who told me to do this." I looked at him. I said, "I believe you're right." And they said, "Really?" And I said, yeah, really. "Well, great." And I said, "Well, no, it ain't all that great." You know, I said, "Why ain't it great?" And I said, "I believe God told you. I just don't know which God told you. But it wasn't Jehovah. It wasn't Jehovah God that told you that. It was another God of this world that told you that. It wasn't God of this Bible, because the God of this Bible says this. He ain't changing that." What does that mean? Know this book and do what he says you do. Y'all hungry? If next week comes and everybody's okay and everything's fine, which I expect to be, we'll talk about the modern day warfare. How am I supposed to do all this? He gives us specific instructions on how we are to operate today in our battles. Would you want to know his plan? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next week. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word. We thank you that you are everything that you said you are, who you are. You're everything we need. You're what we need, who we need. You are our provision. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Your loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Take that with you as you leave today. Sing in the face of the enemy. It strikes fear into his heart and releases you in the presence of God to do everything that God wants you to do. Father, I thank you for this people. I thank you for the food that we're about to go down and share together. I thank you for the fellowship. And I ask you to put us in that position, put us in those stations that we need to be in, for you to be able to show up and show out. And Lord, I'm reminded now by looking across the congregation, I see a fireman, and God would just ask you in Jesus' name that you'd just begin to bless these people, bless these firemen, these rescue people as they battle this fire, these fires are about. We just ask you for protection. We pray, God, that you'll send the rain. Lord, I know the weather's talking about, we're talking about sending your rain. Let your rain come, Lord. Let your provision come. Let your rain come. Protect these guys, these ladies, these men that are out doing this hard work and difficult work. We ask you to keep them safe. I ask you to watch over them and give them victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Got food down the hill. Come on, let's go eat.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.